This is
the Macho Man Randy Savage.
And this is Hard Factor.
And there is no one that does it better.
Right now, yeah.
Nobody does it better.
I ain't repeating myself. Go ahead, tell me something right now.
Yeah, and I'm living in a nightmare. And
I'm not a racist. And I'm always cheering.
Oh, yeah.
To another episode of Hard Factor, presented by the Barstool News Network. It is Thursday, September 17th, 2020. I'm Will. We got Wes and the Beav in the house today. Mark is off. I hear we may get another stimulus check, guys. That's alleged, according to Pelosi and Trump, but not official yet.
Still also, looking Trump for my first one, Will.
Oh, you did? Oh, that's right.
Yeah,
wait, what?
Taxes, you know.
Oh, yeah, you got to pay those.
Got to pay them, it's apparently.
Pay to play. So. Mm-hmm. Also, Trump says he's not as into the TikTok deal as people have reported. So watch out, wiggle dickers. But we're not counting our chickens on those stories before they hatch. Any other housekeeping items before we get going, boys?
No, I don't think so. I can't think of anything.
No.
Okay. Cool. Yeah, we got four big stories on the pod today. Four more on Barstool Radio, 10 a.m. to 11 a.m. Eastern on Power 85 Sirius XM. Wes, get us going.
All right, guys, let's check in on the campaign trail, specifically the Biden-Harris campaign trail. With just 46 days left until the presidential election on November 3rd, Joe Biden is pulling out all the stops to get votes. Nothing wrong with that. It's a politician's fucking main goal to get votes during an election. And it is being reported that Biden is not faring as well as he would have hoped with Latino voters, especially Cuban voters in Florida, a key state that Biden needs to take from Trump in order to win the election. Trump won Florida by just over 1% in 2016. And if you look at recent polls in the state, they are virtually tied, with Biden having a slight lead if you combine all the polls available. But what Biden did at an event in Florida has social media all stirred up. You see,
Wes, before you say what he did, I think that Bernie also crushed Biden in terms of Latino support. I think it's something he's always struggled with.
Yeah, absolutely. But yeah, this is the main focus for him right now is specifically Florida. And this is where kind of it all went wrong for him yesterday, at least according to some people. You see, Biden was speaking at an event in Florida on Tuesday to kick off Hispanic Heritage Month, which goes from September 15th to October 15th. And after he was introduced by Luis Fonsi, am I saying that right, Pat? Louis Fonsi?
What do you want from
me? He's a musician.
I don't know. You're the music guy. I figured you might know.
I don't know. Yeah, I'm not a Latin music guy.
Anyway.
He's a Florida man and also a musician.
Right. He wrote the famous Despacito.
Oh, he must be rich, bro. That guy must be so rich.
Oh, God. Yeah, absolutely. So when Biden took the stage after he was introduced by Mr. Despacito himself, he pulled out his phone, said, "I just have one thing to say," and started playing Despacito on his phone.
Wasn't even like the hit version.
No,
it was like the original, like instrumental. It was weird. It was like, you know, what remind me of is when you first teach your dad how to play music on his phone.
Yep.
And it's like, hey, Dad, this is how you play a song on your phone. At least for people our age, we had to do this, right?
Right.
And then it's like, oh, cool, check this out. And then they do it like over and over again to the point where you're like, hey, stop. You know, it's not cool to just play it in public.
It reminded me of like, have you guys ever back when you used to buy songs? You'd go to like buy a song and like one song, one single's $1.99, the other one's 99 cents. You go with the cheaper one. It turns out to be like the karaoke version of it.
Yeah.
That's kind of what it sounded like. It was like the karaoke version of Despacito.
Yeah, it wasn't the good version. Yeah.
Yeah. Like if he had like those like glasses on, he would have lowered the glasses to his nose, looked down at the phone, tried to figure it out.
He's like fumbling a book in the other hand.
Anyway, he started playing the song and he starts like doing the most like just stereotypical old white man dance that you can possibly.
He lights a Yankee candle on the podium. Yeah,
exactly. So and he played it for, you know, 10 seconds at most. Then he said, quote, I'll tell you what, if I had the talent, any of these people, I'd be elected president by acclamation. Mark pointed out last night through a text, and we tweeted it, that the lyrics of Despacito might not have been a great choice. The lyrics are slowly, I want to breathe your neck slowly. Let me tell you things in your ears so that you remember when you're not with me. Slowly, I want to strip you off with kisses. Slowly, sign the walls of your labyrinth and make your whole body a manuscript. Turn it up, turn it up, turn it up, turn it up.
So kind of perfect, actually.
Perfect, perfect. Very on brand for Biden.
Yeah, absolutely.
It was a real hot sauce in my bag swag situation.
Oh, yeah. I'm going to get to that for sure. I've got the clip, actually. So this moment caused social media to have an uproar about pandering and how Biden's move was cringeworthy and all that. I mean, news networks had every Latino guest they could get on to, like, you know, either say that it was fine or say it was cringeworthy, depending on which network you were on. People compared it to when Hillary was being interviewed by The Breakfast Club. Here is that clip. Let's just listen to that real quick.
I love this one.
No more questions? No, she has to go.
What's something that you always carry with you?
Hot sauce. Really?
Yeah.
Really?
Are you getting information right now?
Hot sauce.
Hot sauce in my bag, swag?
Hot sauce.
Really?
Yes.
Now, listen, I just want you to know, people are going to see this and say, okay, she's pandering to black people.
Okay. Is it working?
Yeah.
Hillary can't even try to pretend to be genuine in that one.
At least
she just actually asked if it's working on air.
Exactly. Well, I guess that you gotta give her points for that, honestly. When you call, but she puts hot sauce on her vanilla ice cream. But like you know who didn't pander? I feel like Obama didn't pander necessarily. Clinton did the sax thing.
Of course, he did. All politicians.
Everyone.
Oh, of course, everyone panders. But there's the egregious ones. Like
all of them are. If you're an American politician and you made it to the presidency, to the Oval Office in the last like 30 years, you did some egregious pandering.
Yeah. I don't. Did George Bush? Because he pretty much just had to he already had all the oil guys in his pocket. Like, did he try?
I don't know,
a little Spanish, maybe.
Maybe.
All those made up words he would go with.
Yeah.
I mean, come on.
I was pandering.
Look. Everybody has to do it at certain points. But I agree. I mean, certain people do it more. I think we're in the age of the ultimate pander. I mean, right now is like everybody will pander straight to your face and expect you not to even guess that you're pandering to them.
That's a good point. Well, I think that's because
of it is now
how media has become really niche. You know what I mean? Like we're like back in the day, they were just like,
it's all pandering. Media is basically a pandering machine.
Yeah. You can speak directly though to like one group of people and it's always cringeworthy when they're like on that, like that.
Right. Yeah. It's like how you can follow different like accounts, like on Twitter. And it's like that bubble, you know, it's that bubble's news outlet. So it's like it's cringeworthy to anybody who's outside that bubble because it's pandering to that bubble. And there's like, you know, 15 of those that represent the spectrum of politics.
Yeah. I mean, and plus, you know, these two guys, Trump and Biden, are both so old that when they try to be cool, it's just like automatic pandering sometimes. It's like in this example. So there's actually a site, just to keep on the Hillary thing, because I thought it was hilarious. There's a site called whyhillarylost.us, and there's a tab dedicated to that soundbite amongst a ton of other things. So I want to be fair, you know, and say that all politicians do this shit. Like we just said, look at what Trump did with the Bible holding in front of St. John's.
Bible, build that wall. You think that's not a – I mean
yeah. – Absolutely. Yeah.
The build that wall is a little bit more complicated of a pander. The Bible pander is directly on par.
Because there is some action behind it.
Yeah, it's just a straightforward. Like my favorite was like when Trump was like, "It's a Bible." We're like, "What is it?" He needed to tell us that it was a Bible.
Yeah.
Well, I'd say even the spectacle of gassing the people out of the square beforehand is a pander.
Yeah.
You know,
running I mean, like with the, horses.
Right. Yeah. I mean, like there's panderings of all types and different audiences that they're going for. And both party is guilty of doing it.
Clearing people from the square is just billionaire shit. I think that's just like when you're a billionaire, you can just, you know, I'm walking here. Get out of the way.
Ted Wheeler's like the mayor of Portland. He's siding with the protesters. They're trying to burn down his house. That's a pander. I mean, were you really okay with people trying to burn down your house, Ted?
No, yeah, it's even more messed up because it's like a condominium complex. Not cool.
Right. Yeah. All your neighbors, all your thousands
Ted, you
of
gotta
neighbors.
Go. Yeah. Imagine the letter from the homeowners association.
Yeah.
Yeah.
It's a politician's job, pandering in some sense.
Right, exactly. And you guys are kind of hitting on the conversation I wanted to have. You know, like Trump saying build a wall is, you know, obviously something he knew his base wanted. It's pandering in a sense, but it's not the cringeworthy stuff. Like the Bible holding to me was cringeworthy, just like this Biden stuff. So there's also stuff about Kamala wearing Converse and Timberlands to pander to Generation X voters.
I think she just rocks Converse though. That's like, I feel like
that's, I mean, maybe
I get mad when people bring Converse into politics just cause it's like, it's just an all around great shoe. It's a classic.
I think that's just a function of, yeah, her being decades younger than everybody else involved in the race too.
Yep.
So,
yeah. I mean, you can, at some point when politicians are running, everything can become a pander. And, you know, I mean, unless Biden had like years of tape where he's just dancing to Latin music somewhere.
Oh, there's years of tape of him being a complete dunce. That's for sure. I mean, like that there is definitely, you know, he's run for president three other times unsuccessfully.
Right.
And yeah, I mean, he's been a senator from a small state for like six decades. I mean, there's lots of tape out there. Yeah.
Did you guys have Tim's? Did you guys have a pair of Timberlands?
I did. I had numerous pairs of Timberlands.
For the winter time.
Big time.
You got to have a set of boots.
I used to rock them for the wear.
Summertime, wintertime, all the time.
Did you have different looks for different outfits?
Yeah.
I had black Timbs. I had the tan Timbs. I had you know, like shoe Timbs for like when I wanted to like dress up with jeans a little bit.
Wow, that's fancy. I only had the one pair, the classic, and I stained them, and I don't think I wore them that much after that.
Wes, I don't know if this is true or not. I might know this, but I might be imagining it. Were you an NYC guy? ENYCEE, that
No,
brand?
I wasn't. No. No. Okay. No.
That wasn't one of your brands?
I was not. I was a Tommy Hilfiger, Nautica, Polo guy.
Oh, I was a Tommy boy.
Big outlet time. Mall king.
Oh, yeah.
I remember
had my Guess jeans, like one strap undone, Guess overalls.
Oh, big time. No, you weren't that guy, really?
Yes. Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah, it was.
I remember we had the foreign exchange student coming from England in the eighth grade. Remember that, Will? And I borrowed him for the day because he was staying with a friend of ours who was a lady and he wanted to get some dude time. And I was like, I remember we were going out to the movies. I was like, you can't wear that, bro. And I lent him one of my Tommies, a Tommy Terracloth shirt. Really swagged him out. Yeah.
Oh, wow. Yeah.
I used to come home.
Big time back in the day.
Was a come must. Home from the mall and my dad would just like hold his head in shame and looking at the things that my mom bought me at the mall and how much they cost, like in Tommy and Nautica and all that shit that I had to have to be cool.
Oh, yeah. I mean, now, yeah, as an adult, it seems silly.
Yeah. But anyway, my real question to you guys is like, so obviously there's these handlers behind these guys, right? There's people that are telling them that these moves are good. The question is like, do you think that like in certain demographics, like this pandering works sometimes? Like I feel like in this election, both sides are kind of like, you know, you're either here or you're there. The pandering doesn't like, are there people that are going to be like, fuck Joe Biden for that Despacito shit, and now I'm not voting for him? Are there people that are going to be like, oh yeah, he's into Despacito. Well, now I'm voting for him.
I don't know. Gaffes can definitely turn people off. You look at like,
right.
But I don't know now that we're in the general election.
Yes.
You know, it's kind of hard. I feel like a lot of people have already made up their minds.
Agreed.
There might be people who are sitting there like wondering, like, I don't know. If you're on the cusp of voting for somebody or not, that might sort of turn you off. But
yeah, it's cumulative.
I don't know.
It's not one thing. I to that point, Wes, I think that like the perfect example is Bill Clinton playing the sax on Arsenio Hall was a pander, right, to the African American community, but it worked. So like when a pander works, you don't really call it a pander. When it fails, you're like, that
was it
a pander?
He was just demonstrating his skill.
But see, that's skills, right? I think if this is Joe Biden literally just turning on a song, that's like. I mean, that's a pander.
I think most
sax,
people,
you gotta have some skills for
that's
that.
That's true.
Yeah.
Most people just chalk it up to them being old, I think. I think that's just, you're just
right.
Like, yeah.
Yeah, well, the Cuban voters in Florida are generally, from what I read, more Republican. So I think this is going to hurt him with those voters, like being like, look at this fucking asshole.
Certainly for people who lean right already or who were like moderate to right, this is going to.
I mean,
totally
we know that everyone knows that they're politicians, so they're assholes. So, I don't think it's changing anything.
Right.
It's not winning, but I don't think it's hurting.
Yeah.
Well,
ask Howard Dean how, you know.
But that was weird.
How one fateful scream turned or totally changed his life.
A little bit different.
It's fun to watch.
I don't know. This was pretty cringe. You kind of gave yourself a Dean, like.
Yeah.
When you saw it, like, you're like, man, that's a. Why did you think that's a good idea? It was a bad idea.
It was cringeworthy. It makes you think that he just doesn't know what the fuck he's doing even more in my life.
Right. Yeah. He clearly thought that was going to play. And right. It's just like, dude, how could you be that out of touch? Like that was going to be like a good move.
Yep.
And it's just like, huh.
Yep.
Well, all
right. What else we got?
You know, he's 78, so expect more of that probably. Mm-hmm. Let's take it over to Portlandia. Three crazy tales from the Pacific Northwest. And it's very fucking strange to me that Portland, like the city that's supposed to be like the chillest place in the country, has spent all of 2020 rioting nonstop, is experiencing now insane crime sprees in the midst of the wildfires. And then on top of that, tossing some good old fashioned ill will toward your fellow man. On top of that, that actually happened in Seattle. We'll get into it.
Remember when we used to call you that?
Ill will.
Well, it's a classic for anybody named Will. Especially
when you were getting ill.
Yeah, exactly. But you know, we're talking about the bad kind of ill will, not the good kind.
Not the kind that brings a sixer and a gram of marijuana and says, "Hey, buddy, I know you're having a bad day. Let's party." Not that ill will.
No, not that one. Yeah, I think like gravity bongs and hurricanes 40s was probably what I was into at the time.
Not
of going by
not
ill will.
The ill will that's like, yeah, the football team lost and everyone's silking, but you know I'm gonna go hang with my non-football friends anyway because it's Friday. That was
and
an
still
Ill.
Party.
That was
yeah,
an ill will. I loved that will.
That's right. Well, maybe I'll bring ill will back one day. But this ill will again that we're about to talk about, not good. First up in this trio of horrible stories. One of those things we didn't get to talk about specifically yesterday with Dave when he came on the pod, thanks Dave, was 45-year-old Domingo Lopez Jr., who was arrested for starting a brush fire with a Molotov cocktail on Sunday night in Portland, was released later that night, because I guess that's a misdemeanor or whatever, only to try and start six more wildfires Monday night, the following night, with two more of his fire starter buddies. They were all caught Monday night. And then Domingo was taken to a mental hospital for evaluation. But who are we kidding? Probably released again later.
How old is this guy, did you say?
45. And you can see a picture of him there. He's very aged. And those are his Molotov cocktails he was using to try to start a fire.
Got to have a detention period. Like a mandatory detention period if you bust someone over the age of 14 with a Molotov cocktail.
No, I mean, I think we were talking about this in the text chain earlier. I think that like anyone that starts fires that lead to these wildfires, life in prison. Like you're killing people, you're destroying billions of dollars worth of homes. Like I see it as worse than just going up and shooting someone in the face with a fucking gun. Honestly,
it's horrible. It's horrible. But so many people do this. There's no way they could punish it that harshly.
I'm curious if those guys, the arsonists that have like the addiction to it. I wonder if it's. If it's those guys or if it's guys that are just like want to just destroy.
Dude, it definitely seems like people who are drugged up when they're doing this shit. Like, I mean, like that we'll get to another one next up. Actually, Oregon woman Kat Cast had to question a man at gunpoint who she found snooping around her wildfire threatened neighborhood. So kind of a neighborhood like Dave's. We were talking to him yesterday. A lot of people left town. There's a lot of shady shit going on when people left town. And she found this guy just snooping around their neighborhood with nothing but a pack of matches. So he's just had nothing but matches on him. She asked him, what is he doing? He said he's just passing through and that he's a smoker. And that's why he has matches. But he had nothing to smoke. Just matches.
That sounds like a bullshit story to me. Because if you're going to go out starting fires, you're not going with matches. You're not rolling with matches. That's the weakest ever.
Oh, no. I mean, there's videos Unless of guys with lighters and matches trying to literally just start brush fires.
Do we know if it was a match light, like a grill match? Was it like the big ones? Because if it was like a hotel pack of matches, then this lady
If it was the wooden ones, right. I'm thinking that he's fully capable.
I'm thinking this lady rolled up on this dude with a gun and found what she wanted to find, which is like the guy was at a hotel and had a pack of matches. Unless it could
No, the guy was a vagrant who had a pack of matches stumbling around her neighborhood.
And matches, you can light the whole thing and they go up big. So if you want to start a fire, lighting a whole pack of matches is going to get the job done.
But you only have one shot, then you're blowing your load there. It better work. Like, you can't no win in that situation.
Also, the evidence is then gone.
He was also guilty enough for her to hold him there until the cops arrived, who did end up arresting him. So something fishy must have been happening.
Mm-hmm.
Not good. And that's in the face of the wildfires. Now just take it back to a weird story that's just general humanity being odd up there. And this is the final one of this trio. Cafe Vita, V-I-T-A, a Portland restaurant with locations in Seattle, is under fire for firing staff at the Seattle Capitol Hill location for giving stale pastries and coffee to the homeless. Cafe Vita general manager Isaiah Washington blamed the massive amount of homeless people near the restaurants on handouts from the staff. And since that time where he blamed the employees for the homeless, 11 of the employees have been fired or left the company over the stale food situation of not being allowed to hand out stale food to the homeless.
Yeah, so this is a weird thing that restaurants have for some reason, that like, if you've ever worked in a restaurant, like, you want to, like, there's it's like some kind of weird health code violation that you're not allowed to give out the leftovers, like,
no,
caterers,
but they're literally,
can't do it too. It's weird.
This is what they're mad about. Them putting the stale drip coffee and the stale pastries next to the dumpster instead of in the dumpster.
Yeah, I mean, this is a law, right, for like some health code reason, but it's so stupid. And if you're the asshole that's going to call it in, like, fuck you, bro. Like, that's bureaucracy at its best. But when you can't fucking give extra food to homeless people, like, what is that trash?
Well, yeah, in this case, it's a business there, so it's not even a government. It's just a business. He's trying to claim that they're ruining the business by having some goodwill towards their common man, which is just, I don't know. It's a weird situation.
How could?
Yeah. Anyways, meanwhile, the area is still completely engulfed in smoke. Riots are continuing. Doxing of rioters and then other demonstrators then lead to the continuous cycle of more protesting and then doxing each other and fucking getting upset with each other. Counter-protesting, harassment online. And really, I just hope that basically the people of Portland and Seattle could just take the fall and winter off. You know, maybe take a little break from destroying your own community for a little while. Much like Mark was saying for Iran yesterday, you know, I'm hoping for a little peace, a little chill to go up there to the Pacific Northwest. You know, just maybe have a good day here or there. Best of luck on that.
So. Yeah, if you want a good, Buddy Dave that was on yesterday sent me a bunch of like crazy photos of the fires and the smoke and crazy stuff. But if you want to go down like a good like conspiracy theory rabbit hole, look into like the Oregon fires and people like, you know, trying to catch people setting them. And like, I'm not going to get into it, but it's out there if you like those kind of like, you know, conspiracy theory videos about what's actually happening, like chainsaw marks on power lines, shit like that. It's crazy.
Well, there's lots of videos of fuckery going around for sure. And like we've been saying, I mean, every year there is a lot of arson that leads to the fires.
Yeah.
No doubt.
And also dumbass fire safety, like people who don't put their fires out properly or do a fucking check review, like idiots.
All kinds of very complex situation. But yeah, I mean, in general, I really like the Pacific Northwest. It's got to be tough right now.
Agreed.
Portland, Seattle, not the year, you know, everybody's having a rough 2020, but it seems like it's extra rough.
Wes, do you believe some of that stuff? I feel like for the most part, there's just such a small grouping of the population that do that shit that it's overblown. It does.
Yes, I believe some of it. I don't believe that it's like the main cause or whatever, but I do believe it happens.
I know the largest fire area wise in Northern Nevada since I moved here was set by a man.
Mm-hmm.
It's either neither here nor there, but since I moved out here, the biggest one was set by a dude.
Well, fuck that guy. We need to bring Smokey back. We need to dress Smokey up. We need to get like ripped bears out there to really protect us from this shit. Guys, let's talk about our sponsor real quick, paintyourlife.com. If you want a truly meaningful gift, you got to try paintyourlife.com. Here's what it is. It's a professional hand-painted portrait painting created from any photo. So you send them a photo, they paint that shit. It's awesome. And it's truly affordable. Like, it's not super expensive. Having a painting in your house means class. It means that you know what you're doing. It means you made a couple right decisions. And I'll be dead honest with you. I've gotten a quote from, like, an artist who's just a freelancer to paint me. And it was really expensive. Preventatively expensive. Now, it's like a hack for the rich people. All the rich people have this shit. Now you can get it too. Seem rich. Fuck them. paintyourlife.com. You choose from a team of world-class artists, work with them on every detail until it's perfect. So, like, you can essentially get what you want, and it's also a money-back guarantee. So if you hate it, you won't, because you'll get it perfect. But if you hate it, it's free. So try it out. Yep. It's quick and easy. You can get it in just 3 weeks, which seems like a long time, but it's not when it comes to a painting. Get it for your grandma. Get it for your spouse. Get you and your pet for your next Christmas party.
And I hear you may have a little teaser for ours soon, right?
Yeah, baby, tonight. Well, yes, so tomorrow you can check out what our Paint Your Life is going to be on the IG. So that'll be exciting. Yeah, she sent a picture in, and it's on. Makes a perfect birthday, anniversary, wedding gift. And right now, y'all, we're going to get 20% off this with our code. You in? You want 20% off your Paint Your Life? All you got to do is text 64,000. Mm-hmm. That's 64,000. Use promo code FACTOR. Text FACTOR to 64,000. You get that 20% off. Go to paintyourlife.com. Get your painting. You're going to love it.
I forgot to do predict it. I'm going to just get it over with now.
Get it over with, Wes.
Predictit.org. Okay, we're talking about Florida earlier. Let's jump right back in. It's even, like I said. So Florida is a double up no matter what. Biden, you get a little bit more bang for your buck with Trump. He's at like 50 cents. Biden's at like 53 cents. But predictit.org/promo/hardfactor20. You can put $850 on Trump. Guess what? You're going to get about $850 back. if you deposit $20
and pretty much the same for Biden
and pretty much same for Biden. Yeah.
I mean, yeah, it's still relative.
It's a high likelihood, not a lock. No such thing as a lock, but high likelihood.
Yeah. Will his gaffe, you know, lose him those, Latino voters? Who knows?
But he's at 58. Yeah. Trump 40, like 800 back on Biden.
Biden was 53 when I looked at him last, like about an hour ago. Maybe he jumped up. Maybe the Despacito worked. anyway, you got to deposit $20 in your account to get $20 on us. But we've been hammering this, and we actually do this. We're not just, you know, saying this shit because they're paying us to, which they are, but we actually participate, and it is a lot of fun, especially debates when we get those mention markets and the fun markets, instant wins.
It is fun. Get your account going before the debates start, like Wes just said. So the debates, the first debate is
November the
29th. 29th
of September. September. So two Tuesdays. Not next Tuesday, the Tuesday after that is the first debate, and you want to have your predictive account set up before that, because there'll be a flood of new markets, and then the debate nights are just so electric. Like,
yes,
so many different you know, prop bets and stuff. It's very.
I just bought 100 shares of Will Biden drop out before 11-1. Just bought 100 shares of no. So
right, yeah, that's a great one. There's a lot of locks to be had right now. I picked out a couple. Pat, that was one of the ones I was seeing yesterday as a lock. A few 85 to 88 cents rangers out there that are absolute 100% locks.
Yeah.
And that means you put $100 down, you get 15 back.
You're not as much cash guaranteed to make on those, but still easy money. You know, 10, 15 cents a share. It's pretty good.
Right.
Yeah.
You just bump it up, you know, 15% of your money, and it's a lock. So.
Right. Yeah. So predictit.org/promo/hardfactor20. Yeah, that's it. Let's keep rolling.
All right, guys. Michael Caputo, the top spokesman at the Department of Health and Human Services, went on what's being called a conspiracy theory laden rant on Sunday via Facebook Live, and is now, quote, decided to take a leave of absence to focus on his health and the well-being of his family, according to a statement from the HHS. Did you guys see this thing?
No.
No,
I didn't see it, but how many people have gotten in trouble from Facebook Live?
A lot.
Like, a lot of crimes start on, or not crimes, but just fucking yourself up happens on Facebook Live a lot.
Dude, this Facebook Live was weird as fuck. And all he knew that he was, like, fucking up and should not have been doing it whatsoever, and he was a little bit unhinged. And I'll get into exactly what he
said.
Think
he was drunk?
He wasn't drunk. I think that he's been put in a really weird position and might be having some mental health issues. But during the Facebook Live, some dude, I mean, I guess he's well known. I don't know how well known he could be because he's like out in front of his house. But some dude drives by him and is like, fuck you.
He's the director of HHS?
I mean, I get – no, he's the comms guy. He's the top comms guy.
Oh, okay.
Anyway, guys, during the video, he said that the government is sacrificing lives in order to defeat Donald Trump, and he accused the government of sedition, which is conduct or speech inciting people to rebel against the authority of a state or a monarch. He also said things like, my mental health is definitely failing, and the deep state scientists want America sick through November. It kind of keeps going on and on and on. He also said to buy ammunition and that they are coming. I don't know who they is, but be ready.
The deep state. Well, this guy's a big time deep state globalist guy.
QAnon guy. He's having a breakdown.
He's having a hard time. So why? The big question is why, guys. So we saw Trump came out in the Woodward book essentially saying, like, you know, he was downplaying coronavirus. That was his strategy. Okay. And that's been challenging for this guy in particular, who was appointed to the HHS in April to essentially like support Trump's downplaying of the COVID, which put him in a really precarious situation.
So why is he doing Facebook Lives? Now seems like the time for this guy to lay low. Just don't say anything.
Exactly. You know? He started drinking the Kool-Aid, I think, and then is having a hard time. He was like, the shadows on my bedroom ceiling get very long at my apartment in Washington. He said, yeah. So essentially he's been tasked with like supporting Trump's lies or downplaying, and that he's in a tug of war between the CDC scientists who are like, why are you fucking with my shit? And he's just, he's having a bad time right now, guys.
Well, why can't he just sort of like wait for Trump to say something and then just parrot that? Because I watched yesterday's press conference where Trump was fielding questions about that Woodward stuff. And Trump basically is saying, like, at the time, that's what I thought. And then now I think differently. So, like, how come this guy can't just not do a Facebook Live that incriminates himself and instead just wait for Trump to say that and then just say the same thing?
I don't know. He's a good soldier. Maybe he's gotten deep statified. Who knows?
I think it's just the craziness. Like,
could
said.
Be,
I think
right?
He's having some trouble.
Yeah. So, this comes on the heel of Trump appointees in the HHS, including Caputo, who, by the way, has no medical experience. That's what the CDC's been pissed about. demanding to review and change the weekly scientific reports from the CDC related to COVID. And there were like a ton of emails that went out with the HHS people attacking the CDC people, saying they're undermining Trump. They're undermining Trump's optimistic comments. That's more or less what's going on. You guys remember Trump put federal pressure on hospitals to report directly to the HHS and circumvent the CDC back, I think it was 4 weeks ago. And there's a big scandal coming down, I think, because, essentially the CDC are saying that the HHS is fucking with their data. Calling that guy Redfield, they're calling him a bitch and like, going at him. So there's that. Anyway, guys.
Who's that, HHS?
Exactly. HHS is coming hard. All right, on to the next one, guys. There's going to be lots of confused bros in the coming months who check the tag on their Patagonia shorts to make sure that they're still a medium. Because when they do, they're going to see a message on the tag that says, vote the assholes out. Did you guys see this?
A little bit. Disappointing. I like Patagonia stuff.
So they said, vote the assholes out?
Right. Not to worry, though, Patagonia bros and Wes. According to the brand's founder, the phrase is more of a choose your own assholes adventure than a statement.
That's what it sounds like to me.
Any specific politician.
No, there's a specific.
Oh, Wes, you think they're talking specifically about Trump there, huh?
100%.
Well, there's a plural, multiple assholes.
But they could always be talking about Pelosi, though. Think about it that way.
They're definitely talking about Pelosi in some respects. Well, specifically, so Yvonne Chouinard, the founder of Patagonia, clarified, and he said the phrase "vote the assholes out" has been used for years within the Patagonia company, and it refers to, quote, politicians from any party who deny or disregard the climate crisis and ignore science. Not because they aren't aware of it, but because their pockets are lined with money from oil and gas interests.
Just as I thought. So, yeah.
That's they're an environmental company.
Well, Trump's the big, you know, everyone's like the anti, global warming
guy.
Well,
so. I think both parties are actually.
It's lots
pretty,
more than the. Yeah, it's not just the Republicans. Yeah. It's
not
most
just Trump.
You guys seriously don't. You guys seriously are going to say you don't think that was aimed at Trump? Like,
I mean,
well,
partly,
I think mostly.
It was
mostly
anyone
for sure.
Who denies climate change so they can get paid.
If you draw a line, that's all right.
Mostly. Well, also, I mean, I guess it's also at Obama and people like that who, like, you know, championed making, the USA a bigger gas driller.
Yeah.
So, like, anybody who has done that. So.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. So as long
as the real vague statement.
Well, it's every politician, bro. The biggest problem in our government is fucking lobbying. You know, it's like that's the biggest issue. So, but for the bros, as long as the politician you deem to be an asshole believes in climate crisis science and is opposed to compromising environmental interests by taking oil and gas lobby money, you can still happily attend class at your high end public university in your Gonias. Otherwise, you might be a North Face guy from now on if you're not into that. But
what do you guys? You guys have an outdoor?
Oh, I haven't owned a Patagonia.
It's expensive.
Well, I have one North Face shirt, but I bought it at a discount shop. So I don't know if that counts.
Yeah. I got a great Patagonia jacket at Costco one time.
I bet you did. I love North Face as a brand. I think they do good shit. But like in college, everyone had they bastardized the brand is what happened because everyone had it. And you're like, I don't want to rock that shit if everyone has it. But I did have great North Face.
But it was like a peer pressure thing. It's like the uniform. Every college, I feel like at all times, there's a uniform in college, like mostly set by the Greeks, you know?
Exactly.
And then it phases out from there. And then like every year, the uniform is just like slightly updated.
And then I noticed that on the UT's campus, it's lazy. It's like all these kids are in sweatpants and fucking long sleeve tees and... they just look like slobs. Like, come on, throw some.
Well, I prefer that to what it was when we were there, which was like New Balances and North Face all the time.
Yeah, that was bad. And that's going to do it for Hard Factor, guys. Thank you guys so much for listening. Hey, we're moving 5-star reviews and voicemails to Friday. So go ahead and give us a 5-star review on Apple Podcasts. The deal is you leave it, we'll read it verbatim, as long as it's 5 stars. The voicemail number is 512-270-1480, I believe. Wes, is that correct?
That is correct.
Oh, hell yeah. Shirts are in the store. Ladies shirts. Have a good fucking day. Ladies shirts. HAGFD. Get in there. Grab you one of those. I think we're going to get hats up for sale this week, I hope. Is that maybe next week? Early next week?
We'll work on it this week.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. The Fatathon, guys. So we'll go deeper. We got a little bit thrown off this week because Large and his way and it's trash. But next Wednesday, on next Wednesday show, we'll update you on our weight loss progress. And if you want to, we're losing pounds for charity. So the deal is all the Hard Factor guys plus Large are throwing in $250. And then whatever the listeners, the Hard O Hive, want to contribute, whomever wins gets the $250 per man pot to their charity. And then we'll distribute the remaining Hard O Hive contributions to each individual's charity based upon loss. I'm supporting the Sims Foundation, mental health for musicians and artists. Wes, what do you got?
It's a Project Rubicon.
Yes.
It's to get veterans out in the community to acclimate them back into society and help them with disaster relief like Hurricane Laura and stuff like that. So it's a dual kind of charity.
Veterans cause. So you got musicians, you got veterans, and I'm doing actual natural disaster relief. Wes, I saw you try to sneak that in there, but you know that's a periphery of the organization you're supporting. I haven't picked the organization yet. But I'll tell you, it's going to go to the most effective disaster relief organization possible.
Yeah.
I'll also say this. I'm working my ass off to win some of these dollars here. I know I'm in third or fourth right now, but I'm going to try to make a comeback.
It's a marathon, not a sprint. And then, yeah.
Thanks to Takes by Trev. He's one of the few people that have donated. Not even these guys have donated their money, but Takes by Trev hit up the donation today. So thank you.
No, I know. Look, I got to clear some things up at the bank and make sure that all the I's are dotted and the T's are crossed, and then I'm going to get it in there. So.
Yep. And
don't worry, Wes. I see you monitoring us.
I see you too, Wes. Mark's, I believe, competing for a exploited children or child trafficking charity and one that prevents that. And Large is competing for the Willie Cologne Foundation. So
yeah.
It's a pinned tweet if you want to go. It's a Fundly. Go kick the cash in. Let's give to a good cause and play along at home if you're fat and you don't want to be as fat.
Can I give directly to Lane Pittman's organization?
Just to Lane. Yeah, that'd be cool. You could support Lane. I wonder if he's in the hurricane right now. Hurricane Sally. We're thinking about anyone in that path. That's tough.
Mm-hmm. Indeed. Yes. Thoughts and prayers there. And stay safe. Don't be silly if you're flooding. Don't risk it.
Turn around. Don't drown. Also, have a great fucking day.
Bitch, I'm back.
See you later, yeah!
Y'all haters corny with that Illuminati mess. Paparazzi, catch my fly and my cocky fresh. I'm so reckless when I rock my Givenchy dress. I'm so possessive, so I rock his rock necklaces. My daddy Alabama, mama Louisiana. You mix that Negro with that Creole, make a Texas Bama. I like my baby hair with baby hair and afro. I like my Negro nose with Jackson 5 nostrils. I earned all this money, but they never take the country out me. I got hot hot sauce in my bag. Swag.
Ooh, yeah, baby. Oh, yeah.